Hello everyone. This will be the first of the many to come series of podcasts made by none other than me. Yeah. So we gotta work on the name and the intro. But let's keep the talk going. So tonight I was actually thinking of what to do, what to say, and I was thinking about this podcast. A friend of mine brought it up, and he kept telling me about doing it. He kept telling me about the fact that I need to actually start a podcast. So I went ahead and gave it some thought. Since I didn't believe in my voice or my ability to talk, I kept pondering about this question, that if I should do it, not the fact that I have to do it or if I need to do it. So upon pondering, I was looking around YouTube and I came upon this song, Falling in Reverse, Popular Monster, and it was about depression. So that got me thinking. That got me thinking so much because I, as somebody who's been battling with depression, and yeah, it's been around a long time that I've been battling with this demon. As I understood it, for everybody, it's different. Everybody depicts it as something. Some people depict it as a monster. Some depict it as darkness. Some even say that it's like sand, actually. Hot and drizzly and grossly thirstening. Even if that's not a word, you get what I mean. So I was listening to this song and it brought up a couple of pointers that in my mind actually it hits really close to home. The first thing that came to my mind was, in this song it says, I just want to feel alright. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if it's a stage or if it's a phase. I just want to feel okay. And I've been talking to many depressed people over the course of the years just to see if I'm alone in the sensations that I have or not. So when the song said that I want to feel okay, I just want to feel okay, I don't care about anything, I just want to feel okay, that was something that got me thinking. I just want to feel okay. I don't care about anything. I don't care what it's gonna take. I just want to feel okay. Because in my opinion, depressed people know it better than anyone that they are depressed. They know there's something wrong. If you are at the earliest stages of it, listen, I'm not a therapist. I don't do therapy. I'm just sharing with you guys what's on my mind. Yeah, I'm kind of a know-it-all, so leave it or take it, just the way it is. So, most of the depressed people know that there's something wrong. Like, at the earliest stages of it, you know there's something wrong. Something doesn't work out. Your mind doesn't go to depression at the beginning because at the beginning, all you think about, all you can think about is, there's something wrong. I shouldn't feel this way. And your subconscious actually tries to save you from the fact that there's so much sensory input and so much raw information that it tries to actually close off some of the functioning parts of your psyche so you wouldn't get hurt. You start to get this. You start to get distant from everybody because others will actually put more pressure on you, and the subconscious says that, yeah, that's not good for you. And how can you face the things that's going to make you bad in daily life? It's when you are awake. So you will get more sleep. You feel sleepy all the time. You feel drowsy. And you might take showers more than once a day. And some people just completely forget about that and don't do anything about it. And as time goes on and it progresses more, your mind starts to save itself like a turtle that goes into a shell. And the mind begins to make itself less and less vulnerable to the stimuli that's around it. Everything around you just. If you put two guys in a room, like one guy is depressed and the other guy is not, they are gonna see and feel and hear different things. Because the mind of a guy with depression is just gonna block like a high percentage of the sensory input out. It's gonna block it out. And it's not gonna let you hear some things or feel something because at that moment, the only thing it cares about is your sanity. You already got enough on your mind because depression is the chemical unbalancing of the brain. So the body's self-repair kicks in and says, all right, the first thing we need to do is stop the damage. The boat is sinking in, and the first thing we gotta do is find the leak and close it. Until then, nobody does anything. Nobody goes fishing, nobody goes to the engine room, nobody goes to the helm. We are just gonna sit here until we fix the leak. And after we fix the leak, we have to find a way to get the water out of the ship. So for now, all we gotta do is fix the leak. So our mind tries to do the same thing, and tries to fix the leak, right? The first thing it's gonna do is it's just gonna look around and tries to see. Because our mind works in boxes. Let's just say in boxes. In one box, it says, all right, if I see a car coming at me, I have to stand by and calculate the distance, the speed, who the driver is, because if you have a bias at the driver, it's gonna change the way you perceive it. If it's a day, night, is there anybody behind it? Am I seeing it right? Is it a car or is it just two bikes? If I wanna just go in the middle of them, am I gonna be turned into pancake? Our mind think in boxes. And we have one box for every single thing that's gonna happen. Our mind prepares itself because it doesn't want to think, it just wants to react. So if you see there's a steam coming off of a glass of water, your mind immediately goes to think that, yeah, this water is hot. It doesn't try to analyze it. It doesn't try to analyze the room, the temperature, where the glass have been. You subconsciously say, think that, yeah, this water is hot, even though it might be some sort of chemical reaction. It couldn't even be water, for all we know, but it's still giving off steam. So we're gonna say, all right, that's hot. Or we see like a bottle of water, and at that moment, our brain says, all right, we are thirsty now. Why is that? Because whenever we see water, our mind says, all right, we need to drink. And this thing keeps going on and on and on in every single aspect of our daily lives. We just don't realize it. We do so many things subconsciously that most of us don't even know. Don't even know that the things that we are doing are based off pre-made choices and decisions that our brain made. So when you are depressed, your brain first thought is to save itself, save the psyche. And what does it do? The water's coming in, there's a leak. And the first thing they gotta do is close the leak. So the brain takes this in a literal sense and blocks off sensory inputs. You might listen to a song, but you won't be able to hear most of the lyrics. You might even just remember 10% of the entire song. You don't know all of it. You might go outside, but you won't realize if the sun is hot or if there's a smell in the air, if there's music playing anywhere, unless it's really bold. You might hear it from a douchebag running in a car at like 180 miles per hour while honking the horns, going, "Yeah!" That might be something that catches your attention. Most of the time, the depressed people don't even look at the car lanes. They don't even see if the car is coming or going. So that's what the mind does. It tries to block it. And after it gets worse, because the chemical unbalancing doesn't get fixed by itself, the brain tries, but it doesn't have all the necessary tools. For example, when we get into a very bad accident or our body is under enough, like way enough stress and injury, your mind is gonna say, "All right, let's shut it all down until we can fix it." And you go into a coma. So your mind, first and foremost reaction is just shutting things down. Even when you sleep, and when you sleep, your brain is gonna shut down there is a bridge between the brain and the body. And it controls the rotary and motor functions of the body, right? When you fall asleep, the body's gonna shut that down. So you might see that you are walking in your dreams, but your body doesn't because the motor functions are turned off, right? So, and that's what happens to people who have trouble sleepwalking. And this sleepwalking, it could have other implications. You could be stressed. You could be sick. You could have a disease or an illness that makes you do that. But most of the times, it's because the brain doesn't cut the motor functions of the body and still connects to the brain. So the body starts to shut things down one by one. And in this case, sensory input data, like raw information, all right? There are like 10,000 things you could hear right at this moment. We are gonna just block like 99% of it because you don't need it. Right now, the only thing you need is simply survival. You're not gonna smell things, you're not gonna see things, you're not gonna taste things. Even though around the coronavirus, that one of the symptoms of the coronavirus is the taste. You're not gonna taste most of the things that you eat, right? That's one of the symptoms. And I actually had a friend of mine who was in Bulgaria. And he was depressed. He had a severe crippling depression. And he just told me, he said that he couldn't taste food anymore. So he went to a doctor and they ran like 3 or 4 tests on him just to see if he has corona. But then they realized that he was stronger and healthier than a horse. And that's when he started to realize that he has lost the taste sensory. And he kept thinking about it, he kept meditating on it, as he put it, just to be able to taste again. And he was able to do that in the end, eventually. And those are the most severe cases. And it grows worse over the time, and you start to not see the colors, you start to not see meaning in anything. And in the end, your thoughts begin to control you. You are not in control anymore. It's like there's another guy at the driver's seat. And when that happens, I'm like, this is something that actually got me thinking. When that happens, you are not in control. So who is in control? This is something that got me thinking, like, for a very long time. And I kept going back and forth on it, trying to realize that, what is this thing that keeps you in check? It's not you anymore. It's you are not doing anything. You're just sitting there like a passenger and watching this thing, this depression, this disease, this illness, this man, this dark figure, this darkness, whatever you might call it, taking the lead. So what is this thing? Is it sentient? Does it have a mind of its own? Or is it just simply our suppressed feelings and emotions? What is this thing that takes the control? What is this thing that wants to end us, kill us, and things like that? Because most of the depressed people, they tend to think that they want to be selfish. They want to spend more time for themselves. They want to maybe be bad, and they chalk it up to the depression talking. So if it's depression talking, could it be that it comes from a certain place in your mind, a personality that you just buried deep in your mind because others wouldn't accept you, or you wouldn't be accepted into the world? You might have been a cast out. Or could it be that this line of thoughts is who you actually are? Somebody beneath the mask. Could it be that what we feel at those moments are who we are? Could it be that a depressed person is more in touch with their inner self than a yogi, perhaps? And that's the question I'm gonna leave you guys with. Good night, have fun, and always wear a smile.